for the opportunity to read your word and to learn of how you set things in order and how we should respond to these commands as far as how to set the tabernacle in order and all the implements thereof. I ask that you would be with me as I speak, and that all the words that come out of my mouth be yours and not mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Opening this Torah portion, Yahweh calls the leaders of Israel to stand with Moses by name. In Numbers 1, verses 5 through 17, Yahweh summoned 12 men of the tribes of Israel. These were not everyday men. These were leaders of thousands. These same men Yahweh appointed as generals of armies of Israel. They had shown that they were capable men. These were exciting times, yet it was very sorrowful. Yahweh was separating from the children of Israel the warriors, and then he divided the assignments of the tabernacle between the sons of Levi. This should have served as a very strong message to them. But from what is written, and they showed little or no remorse for what they had done. This is about the golden calf incident where they just totally blew it and they took matters in their own hands. It revealed their hard heart and a lack of concern for what Yahweh was doing. There were no tears, no mourning for what was going on. Their only concern was what Yahweh called out to the generals and leaders by name. What would happen then is still going on today. How so? It is their willful, stubborn attitude in their heart. Oh, they say they were serving Yahweh, yet their actions prove otherwise. What does it profit a man when he sells his soul? What does he gain when he refuses to hear the voice of the king? This brings to mind Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 2 to 11. And behold, six men came by the way of the upper gate, which faces north. And each had shattering weapons in his hand. And one man among them was clothed in white and linen with a rider's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. And the glory of God of Israel had shone from the cherub and where it was on it to the threshold of the house. He called to the man clothed in linen with the rider's inkhorn set by his side. And Yahweh said to him, go through the midst of the city, in the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men who are groaning and are mourning for all the abominations that are done in her midst. And he said to those in my hearing, go over the city after him, strike, let not your eyes spare, nor have pity. Fully destroy old men, young men, and virgins, little children and women, but do not come near any man whom is marked, and began at my sanctuary, and they began at the old men who were before the house. Defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go out, and they went out and killed in the city. And it happened as they were slaying there, I would remain, and I fell on my face and cried and said, O Lord Yahweh, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel in the pouring out of your fury on Jerusalem? And he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is great, and the land is full of blood, and the city is full of perversity. For they say, Yahweh has forsaken the land, and Yahweh does not see. And even I, my eyes shall not spare, nor will I have pity, but I will put in their way, in their head, and behold, the man clothed with linen, with the inkhorn by his side, reported the matters, saying, I have done as you have commanded me. Even as much destruction as Ezekiel saw in the vision God gave him, in the midst, he cried out and asked, will Yahweh destroy the whole house? And the answer is no. There is a remnant. For those who listen and who do not what Yahweh says, they're going to be destroyed when they don't listen to him. What the children of Israel need to do is fall on their faces with broken hearts and weep before him. Can't you hear the passionate call of the king, the Messiah? He calls out day by day, his arms are open to you, that you will you return to him in repentance as the prodigal son goes home the way that he left and runs to the father? And before one word comes from his mouth, the father forgave him. This is in Luke 15, 11 through 32. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that has come to me. And he divided his living to them. And not many days afterward, the younger son gathered all together and went away to a far country. And there he wasted his property, living desolated. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen in that country. And he sent him to his fields to feed pigs. And when he was longing to fill his belly with the husks that the pigs ate, and no one gave to him, then he came to himself and said, how many hired servants are in my father's house, abound in loaves, and I have perished with hunger. And I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he filled the grave went off, his father saw him and had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for my son who was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew near the house. He heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked, what are these things meant? What do these things mean? And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry, he would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. And answering, he said to his father, lo, these many years I have served you, neither have I transgressed your command at any time. But you had never let me have a kid so that I might make merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your living with harlots, you have killed for him the fatted calf. And he said, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. The key here is that we were dead and lost in our sins, our transgression against him. If we are willing to repent for what we have done, then that is with a broken and humble spirit. He is more than willing and we should return and be, that before we are finished repenting, he showers us with love and compassion. That is what he wanted the children to do. But we are stubborn and stiff-necked people. We have an unyielding spirit that does not want to listen to what he has to say. We're so busy with the noise and images of this world, we cannot even begin to understand or hear his voice. The voice that says, come home to me. In Jeremiah 31:18, he says, I have surely heard Ephraim mourning to himself, saying, you have chastised me. I was chastised. As a bull turned me. I shall return, for you are Yahweh, my Elohim. Surely after I was turned, I repented. After I was taught, I struck my thigh and I was ashamed. Yea, even I blushed because I bore the disgrace of my youth. Is he fine, my dear son? Is he delightful child? For he has often, as often as I spoke against him, I earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my heart is troubled for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says Yahweh. Set up waymarkers, make signposts for yourself. Set your heart toward the highway. The way you went, turn again, O virgin Israel. turn again to these your cities. How long will you turn to and fro, O faithless daughter? For Yahweh has created a new thing in the land. A woman shall encircle and enclose a man. So said Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel. Again they shall speak this word in the land of Judah and its cities, when I shall again bring their captivity. Yahweh bless you, O home of justice and mountains of holiness. And farmers and those go forth with flocks shall dwell in Judah itself and in the cities of it together. For I have satisfied the weary soul. I fill every sorrowful soul. And on this I woke and I looked up, and my sleep was sweet to me. Where is the repentance today? Where is the forgiveness toward our fellow man? We turn a blind eye to the needy and lost. We ignore the voice of the king. We neglect the widow, the orphan, the poor. We have no mercy on those who ask for forgiveness. We are a hollow man, a shell of what was. For if we are unforgiving toward the people, we can see who is a reflection of God. Then what does that say about how we treat God whom we cannot see? Back to the Torah portion, if the children of Israel would have fallen on their faces and sought Yahweh, it might have been a different result. They would have seen the actions of God as an official rebuke for the firstborn of all of Israel were to be priests. This should have been a day of mourning and repentance. Rather, it was just another day for them. They were unconcerned that the Levites were the ones to give an honor and transporting the holy things of Yahweh. How much more so as we can handle the living, breathing Torah of God, who came in the person of Yeshua. In this whole study, let us consider the price that was paid for us to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. We are faced with the same question as they had. Will you love me with all your whole heart, your soul, and your entire being? They were unaware of what they traded. That was the kingdom of priests, a chosen people, when they sinned at the golden calf. So, in all of this, what have we traded for our peace and safety in a land that we were able to have and possess in our own hands? We traded it away for little trinkets and little sin here and there, saying, God does not really see me do these things. For he's off on a long journey or something. And yet he calls out to us day by day, will you come home, O daughter of Israel? Will you come back to me? I sent my son here. He paid the price for your transgressions, so you can come back. And yet we neglect these things. We say, oh, he doesn't see us. He doesn't care. He's a long ways off. And he doesn't even hear my pleas. We see this day by day, and we treat each other like we're just common things. We don't really take care of the needy and the elders and the handicapped and all those who are crying out to God day by day. We could take compassion and take some time to come alongside them and to be with them and mourn with them as the three friends of Job. They were silent for many days, and then all of a sudden they started speaking out all their wisdom, and it was of no avail, because Job was innocent of all these things. It's something to think about in this world, where they were going to be priests, a chosen generation. They chose to take the other road, and they wanted to make God in their own image, in a golden calf. They wanted to go back to the time of Egypt and to learn of the ways of that time period and not see that God had provided the food and the water and the meat for them. They had no compassion on that. They could care less about themselves and mind their fellow man. They would hurt themselves, kill each other, and do all these horrible things. And yet God is crying out to us every single day, come back, come back, come back. And that's what I had out of that.
Okay, thank you, Rick. Appreciate that teaching. Anybody have a comment or a question? Wow,